السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ نجيناكم من آل فرعون يسومونكم سوء العذاب، يذبحون أبناءكم ويستحيون نساءكم، وفي ذلكم بلاء من ربكم عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, today is the 9th of Muharram and tonight the 10th of Muharram had begun. One or two aspects with regards to these markers, as we may call them, in the life of a believer that comes year in and year out. The month of Ramadan will come and somebody will comment that just the other day was Ramadan. And then the month of Zulhijjah will dawn upon us and the same comment is made, and Muharram will come and Muharram will go, and there is one lament in our hearts about how fast time is going. From amongst the signs of Qiyamah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about يتقارب الزمان. Time will begin to shrink, time will become closer and closer, until one month will sound as though a week had passed, and like that a week will feel as though a day had passed. And in this way, how long are we going to lament about time going past? One sign of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that a person utilizes his time profitably. One prophet is in so far as this world is concerned, earning a living, that is part of the life of a person. But more profitable will be with regards to akhirat. In one hadith in Bayhaqi, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ayats of the Quran are very clear, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. When a person goes into Jannah, there will be no fear, there will be no apprehension, there will be no grief, there will be no sorrow of any loss whatsoever. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there will be one loss, one grief, that the person of Jannah, after he has entered Jannah, will have. And that one remorse will be not spending a moment in the ibadat and the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah give us the tawfiq that as we also lament that time is moving on, but at the same time, we utilize our time fruitfully for the akhirat. In this ummat, there were such people, as the Shaykh Mawlana Zakariya rahimahumullah has written about a person by the name of Dawood At-Tai. This Dawood At-Tai, for years after years, all he would do, what he will take his bread, his roti, he will crumble it up into water, not even milk, and he will drink it. And that was his meal. And when he was asked about this, why do you go through all the trouble? He said, I calculated that if I had to have a meal, bread with the curry, and as I ate in this way, the difference is 50 ayats of the Quran. 50 ayats of the Quran. Today, we're looking for rands and cents. If I open my shop and I kept it open for Jum'ah, what will happen? What the loss will be, what the profits will be. But these individuals calculated what the profits will be insofar as akhirat is concerned. Sheikh Jurjani rahmatullah alayhi was also a very pious personality. His habit was, and this he did for a period of 40 years, he did not eat any gravy with his bread. But what he would do was he would take the barley and he will eat the barley and drink one or two sips of milk. And when he was questioned, he said 70 subhanallahs again. One subhanallah, one tree in Jannah. So those were the pious ancestors of this ummah that valued their time and they utilized their time for akhirat. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks about khayrun nas. There are many ahadith. One hadith you always hear in the Quran, hifz khatam. That person who reads the Quran, who teaches the Quran, who learns the Quran, who teaches the Quran, khayrun nas, anfa'uhum lin nas. The best of people is that person who benefits mankind the most. So in one hadith, khayrun nas, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man tala umaruhu wa hasuna amaluhu. That person whose lifespan is long and his deeds are also good. In other words, he does not miss out, he does not use his time in frivolous activities, activities that are mundane and do not bring any good to his dunya and his akhirat. The other day one of my colleagues was saying that he was giving a talk to his students and in that Allah put it into his heart that the students should make dua for him. So he requested, make dua, I live for 100 years and in these 100 years I continue teaching Quran Sharif. So he asked one youngster, 7 years old, what do you think about it? So the youngster said, Maulana, if you put your mind to it, you'll do it. Friends, if we put our minds to it, we'll do it. The age is different, that is taqdeer. But as far as utilizing our lives in the ibadat of Allah, using it for good, benefit of mankind, inshallah, thumma inshallah, we'll see and we'll reap the benefits there in the akhirat. When we look at this month of Muharram, and when we look at the year 1445 that has gone, 1446 that has started, then we will all say it is the hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I just want to speak about one or two aspects with regards to this Mubarak hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Last year in this masjid, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Rawat Sahab spoke about some of the events that had taken place during the hijrah. But how did this hijrah all begin? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was honored with nubuwat from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And year in and year out, Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah, he was an Ansari sahabi, he would say that for the 10 years of Mina, the 10 years of Hajj, that we would go from Medina to Makkah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come out to Mina, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will invite us towards this call of one Allah wahdahu la sharika la. It was in the 11th year of the nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10 years of nubuwat passed. In the 11th year of the nubuwat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again went to Mina to renew and to refreshen this da'wat and this invitation of Islam. The people of Medina, 6 of them, embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these 6 actually became the foundation of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The following year, the 12th year of the hijrah, these 6 went back and they began to speak about Islam. They began to speak about this message of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what love they may have had, that people now began to listen to them. Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahimahumullah has written 2 aspects. One aspect is that the people of Medina Munawwara, although they were idol worshippers like the people of Makkah, but because of the interaction with Yahud, they had come to know about Nubuwat, They had come to know about the prophethood, and they would always overpower the Yahud. And the result was, the Yahud would always say to them, that when this last Nabi comes, we will bring Iman in him, and we will overpower you. But look at Taqdeer. Look at how Allah Ta'ala put it, that now the people of Medina, the Ansar, at that time they were not known as Ansar, the Aus and the Khazraj, more the Khazraj in the first six, had accepted Iman. They go back and they speak. The next year, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes to Mina. Now, those who have been for Hajj, or those who have went for Ziyarah, we know the Jamara Aqaba, the big shaitan that we will call. When our backs are facing Masjidul Khayf, and we are facing this big shaitan, just on the other side of it is a valley. And there is a masjid there that the Turks built. And that was Aqaba. That was the Aqaba, actually means a valley. That was where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had come at night. Again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives his dawat. Now from 6, 12 people accepted Islam from Medina Munawwara. The people of Makkah leave their reservations, their persecutions. They were trying to stop every way. And this is a very important lesson, friends. Whatever happening, inshallah, we'll speak about it a little later. Whatever happening in the world, no one can ever stop the deen of Allah from flourishing. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab actually would go behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mina. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is giving dawat, he will say, do not listen to this mad person, wa'udhu billah. And every time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will speak about the oneness of Allah, he will say something against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But all that said and done, the next year, 12 people in the 12th year of the nubuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they accepted Iman. From there, those 12 go back to Medina. And again, these are lessons for all of us. What happens? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sends one sahabi, a very young sahabi, Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umair, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, to Medina Munawwara, and a senior sahabi, but he was blind, Abdullah ibn Maktum, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was one of the muazzins of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Medina. He sends these two, telling them that go to Medina, Mus'ab, you will be the imam. And both of you will invite, and you will teach the people Quran, you will teach them Islam as they accept. When we speak about an Islamic state, when we speak about an Islamic hukumat, then the only example that we have is of Medina Tayyiba. And what was the foundation of this Islamic hukumat of Medina Tayyiba? Friends, it was the ta'lim of Islam. We can shout our heads out and do so, slogans with regards to Palestine and everything else. But the day when we understand that we have to send our own children to madrasa, and when the day when we understand that Islamic education is more involving, it requires more time, we need to be more committed, we need to commit them more to the Islamic education, and the tarbiyah has to be made, that they learn the names of Allah, they learn the Quran and the ahadith. That is the day we will see the change in Islam. That is the day we will see the change in the landscape of this world. On the one hand, alhamdulillah, we have the enthusiasm when we see what happens on the other side. But we are forgetting our own household. We are forgetting ourselves. This was the very foundation of the Islamic state of Medina, and that was the ta'lim, that was the tarbiyat, that was the tabligh of deen, and that is what flourished. Ulama wrote that in that 1 year period, after these 12 had accepted Iman and Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not a single household was void of one individual at least accepting Islam. That is how Islam began to spread in Medina Tayyiba in that 1 year period. There's a very interesting incident that took place The one tribe, Abdullah ibn Ash-Shahl tribe, that entire tribe accepted Iman and Islam at the hands of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, barring one person. This one person, his name was Amr ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At that time he had not accepted Islam. He accepted Islam in the third year of the Hijrah, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone to Uhud. And now Allah puts Iman in his heart. He accepts Iman, and now he is going to the battlefield, and he passes away, he becomes a shaheed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears about his shahadat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Amr ibn Thabit huwa jannatiyun, he is a jannati. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to ask his students a riddle. Who is that jannati that didn't perform a single salat? Who is that jannati who didn't perform a single salat? The point is that now people began to accept Islam in the 13th year of the Hijrah. Again at Aqaba, the Aus and the Khazraj, the people of Medina assembled. They sent a message to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are here, 73 men and 2 women. 75 of them all together. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes that night with his uncle, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abbas at that time had not accepted Iman and Islam, but he supported Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had taken the pledge of Iman. And then Sayyidina Abbas asked them that should my nephew leave Makkah and should he come to Medina, would you people look after him? The long text of the entire thing is unwaveringly, they all agreed that they will give their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To the extent Sayyidina Abbas asked, it must never happen that you people get cold feet at a later point. The people of Medina were so sure that they would protect Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hence Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was Zulhijjah, and then from the month of Muharram, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to send the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and then in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had made this hijrah. So friends, what happened when this hijrah had taken place? When this hijrah had taken place and why? Sahaba were unable to worship Allah Ta'ala in ease and peace. The persecutions, that was on its place. The blood that was spilt, that was on its place. Sayyidina Bilal being dragged on the hot sands, that was also on its place. But the most important aspect was, they wanted an avenue, they wanted a place in which they could make Allah's ibadat in ease and peace. We know he made hijrat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam built the masjid in Quba. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to Medina. Masjidun Nabawi is built. The adhan is called out. 5 times salah takes place in jamaat. And now, this was in actual fact the springboard for the progression of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And whatever we see today, whatever we saw yesteryear about this deen of Islam, all of that had begun from Medina Munawwara. So hence, we should never ever forget that there were individuals, the muhajireen, that gave their everything. They sacrificed their wealth, they sacrificed their properties. You know, at the time of the conquest of Makkah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into Makkah. Somebody asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what about our properties? We own those properties. We made hijrat. It's expropriated now by the Quraysh of Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, didn't Allah give you something better? So that shows they gave everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other side, the Ansar, they had Iman, they loved the Muhajirin, they gave half of whatever they had. In one narration in Mishkat, some of the Ansar came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're only giving half of the shares of the Prophet. Whatever comes, whatever is harvested, we're giving half to our Muhajirin brothers. The land effectively all belongs to us, 100%. Shouldn't we give them half of that also? That was desperate. So this was that hijrah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, keep the land. Allah will open many doors for them later. And of course Allah Ta'ala did. Time will not permit us to go into all of that. But we need to understand that the day when the Sahaba left everything, they left their homes, they came to Medina Munawwara, the Ansar made their nusrat, they gave their share, their halves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused this deen of Islam to flourish. That is the one aspect of this. The next aspect of it is this Yawmul Ashura, the day of Ashura. Now we all know, and we heard it year after year, time after time, that its significance was from the time of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. In a kitab Arudul Quran, which speaks about very many aspects of the tafsir of the Quran, it was centuries that the Bani Israel were suppressed under the tyranny of Firaun. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought that day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. On the one hand, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was the Nabi of Allah. He implemented the rules of Allah. On the other hand, Allah ta'ala had sent him to free the Bani Israel and emancipate them from the clutches of Firaun. A very important aspect, there will never be any revolution if we do not follow the revelation. There will never be any revolution in the world if we do not follow the revelation that comes down from Allah Ta'ala. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam followed this wahi that had come down, and eventually after centuries Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala emancipated the Bani Israel from the clutches of Firaun. We know the story. Firaun was drowning at that time. He wanted to bring Iman, and Allah Ta'ala did not accept his Iman. That incident is in Surah Yunus. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah Ta'ala balances this Quran. On the one hand, Firaun had seen the signs of Akhirat. He had seen the signs of Maut. And at that time, Allah will not accept Iman. On the other hand, the people of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wassalam, he warned them, 120,000 of them, he warned them, and he continued warning them about Allah and about the adab of Allah should they not bring Iman. When the signs of the adab of Allah were being seen by Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, he left his people. When they saw the signs in a nutshell, what did they do? They all assembled. The Nabi is not there now, but they all assembled and they made tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. When they made tawbah to Allah, Allah accepted the tawbah of 120,000 people without any reservations whatsoever. Allah accepted their tawbah, Allah accepted their iman. That is why ulama write, if this day of Ashura was the day of emancipation of the people of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, and you and I, we turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we also make tawbah, Allah ta'ala will emancipate us also. Abu Turab was a great Sufi. He writes that when sins are committed, the ayat, kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun, is evident in the Quran, that when sins are committed, then black spots and darknesses enter the hearts. The one sign of that darkness in the heart is a person doesn't feel the consciousness of committing haram. A person does the wrong, but there's no conscious, there's no heaviness in the heart. There's no consciousness in the heart. Secondly, The person never inclines towards the obedience of Allah. If there is a choice of the obedience of Allah, halal sustenance for example, automatically the mind will go to haram. And the third is no nasihat in the world will be of value to that individual. Allah save us. Allah save us. So this is the time we also need to turn to Allah and make tawbah. Allah Ta'ala accepted the tawbah of the people of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Most certainly Allah has chosen this day. Allah will accept our tawbah also. Nonetheless, the day of Ashura, the one very, very important aspect is when our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had come to Madinah Tayyibah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam fasted on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Many are those narrations that indicate that before the fast of Ramadan, the fast of Ashura was a compulsory fast. Then the fast of Ramadan, and that was a difficult one, that when you go to sleep the night, you read your Taraweeh, and when you go to sleep, the fast started. There was no sehri. Then you're going to fast till the next day, iftar. One sahabi, he worked very hard in the agricultural line, and he had not left any money, there was no money in the home. So he fasted the month of Ramadan. And again, we need to think, what are the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala upon us? In his home there is nothing. This sahabi comes home, he had sold some of his produce, he brings some money, and now his wife takes that money to go buy some flour to make some roti. In that the man falls off to sleep. Now, by the rule of that time, the next day's fast started. So she also realized, there's no point in waking him up. Because no matter how much of roti I make, he can't eat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw the difficulty, the day of the fast of this individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so easy for this ummah from sehri till sunset. So this was the first farz fast. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the end of his life, he saw that the Yahud also fast. The equivalence of the day of Ashura. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I live till next year, then I will add the 9th to the 10th, that is today to tomorrow. Because insofar as our deen is concerned, we will try and do better than everyone else. And if not the 9th to the 10th, then at least the 11th to the 10th, the 10th and the 11th of this month of Muharram. So let us try at least to keep this fast, to keep this roza. Those that fasted today, fast tomorrow. Those who haven't fasted today, fast tomorrow and Thursday, inshallah. For all of that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward us. One year of our minor sins will be forgiven if we abide by this and we keep this fast. And then the other very famous hadith, I think every Muharram starts, and this question goes out to practically every mufti in the world. What is that masala of spending extra on the day of Ashura? When should we do it? What is that day? So it is the 10th of Muharram, that is tomorrow. It is not about giving gifts. The hadith says that person who expands for the sustenance of his family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expand for that person his sustenance in a similar way for the rest of the world. Sufyan ibn Uyayna for 5 decades said, I tested and tried this hadith and 100% I saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was kind upon me and Allah ta'ala expanded upon me. So brothers and friends, when we look and the incidents of Karbala and all of that, that happened 6 decades after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the very first aspect we discussed today, let us make qadr and appreciate and value our time. Number two, let us understand that this deen is built on hijrat and nusrat, that we go out for the sake of Allah and at the same time we assist those who are out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will remember that batil will never ever remain upon haq forever and ever. In the ayat of the Quran, Allah says, أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فسالت أودية بقدرها فاحتمل السيل زبد الرابية. In short, Allah gives two examples. One is when rains come down, the waters of the rain will go through valleys, and on top of it we'll have the scum, we'll have the dirt. Apparently it seems that the dirt is riding the waves, but the truth of it is that the water is of value, not what's on top of the water. Like that haqq and batil. It may seem that batil is dominant over haqq, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not keep that forever. The second example Allah gives is when we see gold is taken out from the ground and it is heated to be purified, the ore is being purified, then what happens? We find the scum coming on top and the gold remains at the bottom. Whatever is on top will never remain forever. It may seem that the batil forces are dominating the world and Islam is being subdued. Brothers and friends, we need to wake our inner souls up. We need to wake ourselves up. We need to create that Islamic state in our own homes, in our own lives, in our own businesses. But this will not remain forever. كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. That is the example Allah has given of haqq and batil. Haqq will be dominant on the surface of this earth. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wherever the ummah is suffering, may Allah ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of the ummah. And let us make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat that as this month of Muharram has dawned upon us, we also turn that new leaf in our lives and we turn our hearts towards Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama anta ahluh, fasalli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama anta ahluh, wa fal bina kama anta ahluh, fa innaka ahlul taqwa wa ahlul maghfira. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. O Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, our spouses, our children, our families. Ya Allah, forgive the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, on this day of Ashura, Ya Allah, you emancipated Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel. Ya Allah, make this decision, Ya Allah, of the emancipation of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, most especially, Ya Allah, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our parents in Palestine, in Gaza, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and wherever else the ummah is suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, alleviate and remove the sufferings from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, like how you accepted the tawbah of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam's people, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept our tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, turn our hearts towards you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us your close servants, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us, Ya Allah, from amongst those, Ya Allah, that will be of benefit to man, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us steadfast on Iman. Ya Allah, grant us the sweetness of Iman. Ya Allah, take us from this world with Iman. Take us with this kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, save us from the adham of the qabr. Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, make the decision of Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, amongst us in the ummah, whoever is ill and sick, Ya Allah, grant shifai kamil, ajil mustamir, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the marhumin of our families of the ummah, Ya Allah, grant them the highest of Jannah. Ya Allah, you be pleased with us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us pleased with you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu wa sallama ala an-nabiyyil kareem. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.